Hello, welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat at the table with Scott Porath and Brent Kuhlman, two pastors daring to be Lutheran, daring to invite you to your healthy theological radio addiction.
Welcome.
That's Brent. I'm Scott.
Hey, babe. Hey, how you doing, Scott?
Good, good. Luke's Gospel. Luke Acts, if you've been listening, we've been talking about the connection here, about the author of both the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles is St. Luke. And we're reading for understanding. In other words, we're not just going through verse by verse and dissecting everything, as delicious as that might be, but we're kind of looking at some threads, if you will, and some background that is very helpful, I think, as we hear these words. So, for instance, you know, we've talked about how Luke's gospel describes what Jesus began both to do and to teach, and then how Acts continues to depict what the Holy Spirit continued to do and continues to do to this very day. So, the setting, if you will, of these two scriptural books. What are you chuckling for over there?
This is like NPR, I think. Our voices are like we're doing an NPR program. It's just funny how this works. You know how Saturday Night Live used to make fun of they'd do these skits at NPR, and they'd have these certain radio voices. It's funny how this, how this is.
See, it sounds
regular. Sounds normal to
me,
you, you know, yeah. When you listen to it. It's like, what are we doing, NPR radio, everybody?
Right. Sometimes, you know, I listen to preachers, and they have their preacher or their service voice. It's like,
that's right.
Well, that's not the way you sound normally. Why are you talking that way?
And you're looking at me.
And apparently I'm doing that myself.
It's just funny how this works. It just creeps in. We always do that. You and I both do that all the time.
Well, what kind of gifts do we have for our supporters if they call in at the $50 amount, Brent?
I don't have any. I spent all my money buying confirmation gifts this week. I've got nothing left.
Very good. You must have confirmation coming up.
I do. Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday. Oh, by the way, we're recording this prior. So.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
This isn't live, folks.
As they've noticed.
They said, well, you'd think they'd edit it then if it wasn't live. Okay,
don't have time for that either,
no,
or the money.
No, no. So, the gospel in the Roman world, if you will. Okay, so one of the things that we noted in Luke's gospel is that he notates various secular times from the Roman world. And so Luke is often thought of as this the historian, and indeed he is. He's very aware of the secular Roman world.
Right.
But is there something more going on here?
Yeah, there is. I would contend there is. Let's just be very clear. You know, he references Roman emperors. So in Luke 2, he talks about a decree for a census. And that was done by the Emperor Octavian, who is known as Caesar Augustus. And then John the Baptist began his ministry in the 15th year of the reign of Octavian's successor, Tiberius Caesar. That's Luke 3:1. In Acts 11, Luke says that a famine took place in Judea when Claudius was emperor. And that same ruler, Claudius, he banished Jews from Rome. That's Acts 18. And you remember that Paul, as a Roman citizen, appealed to the Caesar at that time, who was Nero. And that's Acts 25 and Acts 26 and Acts 27. There's one emperor he doesn't reference, and that's Caligula. He was an absolute madman.
Psycho.
Yeah, oh, yeah, immoral madman. But, yeah, there's more going on, and it's this. These Christians who at this time of Luke's writing are being persecuted by Jews. You can read about this in Acts. You know, the synagogues throw the apostles out.
Mm-hmm.
Won't listen. I'm speaking in general. So the Christians are being persecuted by Jews, and you've got Saul doing that, you remember?
Sure.
So what Luke is doing is showing that look, this Christian church stuff, or this Christian movement, if I want to call it that, the way as it's described mm-hmm. in the book of Acts, is not a subversive sect that will try to undermine the state or the Roman Empire. Because here's the trouble, is people would look at these Christians as being subversive. Or let's very simply, they wouldn't be good citizens, and so you know we really shouldn't have these kind of people around.
Right. In some respects, they're the new kids on the block too. Right. I mean, from Rome's perspective, here you have this thing that comes from the heart of Judaism, from Jerusalem.
Like a sect out of Judaism.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, and now it's spread, and it's spreading in the Roman Empire. Should we let this seed take root in our empire?
Now, keep in mind, too, that, you know, in this time frame, you know, if you're living in the Roman Empire, anything new that doesn't have a long-standing heritage or world heritage is always going to be looked upon with suspicion. So, I mean, the Judaism had a long history, not only in the Roman Empire, but in the world. So that could be tolerated. But all of a sudden, there's this new thing called Christianity, or the Way, that worships a man from Nazareth named Jesus, who supposedly rose from the dead. And I believe that, of course. So when I say supposedly,
right.
I'm just talking from
their the
point.
Roman perspective.
Yeah. So this is something new. And so, and they deny the Roman gods. And, boy, this is troubling, very troubling. I don't know if we can have these people as citizens. And so Luke is simply saying, by referencing these names and this history, is that, yeah, it occurs during this time, but Christianity or Christians are not subversive to the state. You remember, we looked at this, I think the last time that we sat and talked about Luke's gospel and Acts is, you know, when Jesus was on trial and when Paul was on trial, what was the common theme?
Innocent.
Yeah, that's right. Both Jesus and Paul were innocent of the charges that were brought before them. Yeah.
So now, there's no, they're not a threat to the Pax Romana. See, that was always the big deal, wasn't it? The peace of Rome. Keeping peace in the empire to make it a highly efficient, streamlined machine.
Economic and political monster.
Not only to preserve the empire, but to expand it. And so anything that would gunk up the engine, like a sect, a troublemaker, certainly got their attention.
Well, and this is very applicable to today. You and I have talked about this many times on our program here when we just sit down around a cup of coffee and talk about these things, is that, you know, we're living in a country now where certain speech simply is on the ragged edge of not being tolerated at all in certain parts of our country. I think we saw that recently. If a certain politician goes into a certain community, the people who hire these protesters have got it all ramped up and put on a big show, just like the Bolsheviks did at the turn of the last century to overthrow the Tsarist Russia. So we're repeating history here to a certain extent. I'm getting carried away here, but the
parallel. So is Christianity a threat?
See, and that's what I'm trying to say, is that there are many people in our country and in Western civilization who would contend that Christianity, a certain brand of Christianity, like you Lutherans who supposedly support life, who support only marriage between a man and a woman, and just we can keep going down the list, you people cannot be good citizens. I will remind our listeners that Justice Kennedy on the Supreme Court, with regard to the social issue of abortion and homosexuality, you can double-check me if I've got those issues right, but in one of the rulings, I'm doing this all by memory here, so I'd have to double-check, but I'm going to paraphrase, that if you disagree with what the court says on this particular issue that he ruled in favor of, which we're against, that you are now an enemy of the state. Now, that wasn't a side comment by Justice Kennedy. He meant it. And that's where I'm coming from. He's not the only one. I'm not sure how to say this very well, so you have to have mercy on me. But he, along with many powerful people in our country, view Christianity as a problem, a huge problem. For what? Our society's progressing and getting better and better and better. We stand in the way. Why? Because we say that Jesus alone is God and that we worship him only. And when we worship him only, then guess who we don't worship? It's the state, you see. So Luke, back to Luke then, are the Christians a subversive sect? Can they be good citizens? Luke is trying to say, yes, they are. They certainly are. And we are saying this as well today.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. You remember Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And when I teach that, it's amazing how when people, for the first time in their life, when this is taught to them, how their eyes just, wow, this is amazing. Because they have been taught a lie their entire life. And what's the lie? The Lutheran Reformation is to blame for the Holocaust. The Lutheran Reformation is to blame for all the things that have gone wrong in Western civilization. Why? Because these Lutherans just do whatever the civil authorities say. No, that's not true. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. That is to say, give Caesar honor, pay taxes, respect, etc., as long as Caesar does the work that God's given him to do, which Paul delineates in Romans 13, punishing the criminal and commending those who do good. When Caesar oversteps his bounds and says, I'm God, worship me, and it's all right to kill your children in the womb, and it's fine and dandy to marry same sex, then we as Christians say, no, we will obey God rather than men, Acts 5. So render to Caesar what is Caesar's. We are all for that, except when they exceed their bounds and pass laws that are contrary to the word of God. Render to God what is God's? Well, what's that? That's faith.
I'm going to say something that's scandalous. Beware, somebody might rush the stage here. So, the application of that. Christians believe that the Word of God is above the United States Constitution. Now, I'm not saying that the Constitution is in error, but whether it's the Constitution or a person's interpretation of the Constitution, when it contradicts with the Word of God, then we'll render unto God what is God's.
That's right. That's right. Now, that's why I'm saying all this, is because Luke is trying to show in his gospel and Acts that Christianity is not subversive. We will be obedient to governing authorities when they do their work in the bounds that God has given them to do.
And this is not a threat to the nation. It's not a threat to people's well-being.
That's correct. Instead, it's just the opposite. It upholds it.
It benefits.
And you can have a civil society, you see. See, this is the irony here.
It's like Magdeburg. We're not the ones who are stirring up trouble here. We're not. It's not Christianity that disturbs the peace of Rome.
That's right. That's the irony. But see, this is why, boy, we're really just wailing away here. But this again is why the Book of Revelation is so important, because the Book of Revelation teaches us that Jesus alone is the one who is to be worshipped. Remember, John twice, I think, in the Book of Revelation falls down to worship the angel, and the angel says, "Don't worship me. I'm a fellow servant with you. Worship God," which is that's a simple way of understanding the entire Book of Revelation and the entire Bible. So we listen
to the governing authorities as God's messengers, but we do not worship them.
That's right. They are God's ministers, as Paul says in Romans 13, to do us good and to punish the criminal. When they overstep those bounds as creatures and then act as little divinities, then we say, no, you need to repent of that. We will not obey you.
Our worship belongs to God.
Yeah, and when Christians, see this, when Christianity will not obey the state as being divine, that benefits society. Seriously, folks, it benefits society, because when the state oversteps its bounds and wants to be worshipped as a little divinity, then you live under a complete total totalitarian tyranny. You think that's going to be good? No.
Yeah, rather than a rule of grace and mercy, which is beneficial for all, well, it's like me being God. The poor, miserable sinner calling the shots. That's not good for anyone. Well, we'll take a break. Back after a moment.